Scripture reading will be from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
God planned it long ago that he would send his son who would give his life for our sins. It is for the grace of God through Jesus Christ that we have an inheritance. God provided that through Jesus coming and living his life on this earth, setting a perfect example, shedding his blood on the cross for our sins so that we might be bought back, redeemed, brought back to God through the blood of Christ. And those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe God's word and confess Christ as the Son of God, repent of their sins, and confess Christ, then are baptized, are added to the body of Christ, the church. And so we become heirs of God's grace because God, through his grace and mercy, has allowed us to be able to have forgiveness of sin. I have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin brings its consequences. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So God has been merciful to mankind in providing a way that we might be able to have forgiveness of sins, to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be able to come back to God, even though we've been separated by sin, that we may be heirs of his grace. Grace, of course, and mercy is important. Grace is unmerited favor. It's something that's unearned. And so through the compassion and love of God, he provided that we could have forgiveness of sins, though we could not earn our forgiveness, though we could not ever live good enough to live above sin. God in his grace provided that mercy for us. An heir is one who is in line for an inheritance. As Christians, we are in line as Christians through Jesus Christ to be heirs of God's grace. So we are recipients of the God's grace through Jesus Christ. And in that, if we live faithful to death, we know that we will be heirs of God, in that we will be heirs with Christ. When God comes to get the church and takes us home to heaven, we will be there with God around the throne of God forever and ever and ever. We will receive our inheritance in heaven there because by faith we believe God, and through his grace and mercy we were able to be there in heaven forever. And we look forward to that as Christians, to being in a better place. This morning I'd like to talk about the fact that I'm an heir of the grace of God. As a Christian, you're an heir of the grace of God, and we need to be thankful for that. Never take lightly what God has provided for us. Each one in this building, most everyone that lives, has sometime in their life, maybe they have received no actual inheritance of their own, but they would know someone probably who has received some inheritance in this life of a physical or material or financial nature. Maybe from their parents or grandparents or from a friend or someone who left them something when they died. They're an heir of what that person decided to give them. We're an heir of God through Jesus Christ because he decided to give us grace and mercy that we could be saved from our sins. So we're heirs of God's grace. So this morning, let's talk about being heirs of God's grace here in chapter 2. This grace that God has provided for all people who will come and accept him by faith and obey him, it is for all. It is provided for everyone. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 there, that Donald read, for the grace of God had bring salvation has appeared to all men. God's grace is for all men. Now, all men will not receive it. Jesus talked about Matthew 7:13-14, that few will be those that find it. Many will be that go the wide way, the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, but few there will be that will receive the grace of God, because they will close their eyes, the hardness of their heart, and will not heed the things God says by faith to obey and receive that grace. Romans 1 and verse 16, the grace of God is for everyone. The gospel is for all. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus declared that his apostles should go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. So God's grace is for everyone. So it is through the love of God, the kindness of God, and the mercy of God that he has been able to, that we have been able to receive his grace. He saves us through his Son. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 that Donald read this morning. So be an heir of the grace of God. There are things that God requires of. By faith, we're to obey him. So there are responsibilities we have to fulfill in keeping with the will of God. Commands are to be obeyed. We can't earn our salvation, but God has provided that if we will do these things by faith, that he will give us salvation because we are faithful to his call and faithful to his word. Well, let's look at some of these things here in Titus chapter 2 this morning concerning the fact that as we're heirs of God's grace, there's some things that we read here that's important for you and me and for everyone who is a child of God. When Paul wrote to Titus and explained this to him, he's writing and telling him that this is what Christians should understand, that we're heirs of God's grace, and because we are heirs of God's grace, verse 12, it is essential that we deny ungodliness and worldly lust, because we are to serve God and be like him. We can't serve God falling after the world. We can't serve God going after worldly lust. And so it's important that we lay aside those things when we're baptized into Christ. When we're born into Christ, where our sins are forgiven, we desire the sins of the word that we may grow thereby. So we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. As a matter of fact, the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are going to all vanish away. 1 John 2:15-17. So as heirs of God's grace, we're told that it is essential, it is necessary that we deny ungodliness and worldly lust as children of God. There in verse 12, we find that as heirs of God, we're to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Verse 12, soberly, we're to be clear thinkers. We're to be reasonable thinkers. We're to clear our minds up by learning God's will and way and studying his word, and his word will let us know the right way and warn us about the wrong way, so that we can clearly understand what it is that God is, who he is, and who his Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is, and what God's word is, and what it means to us, and help us clearly understand who we are, so we can think clearly. And then if we do that, we are walking and serving God as an heir of his grace, because we've been forgiven of our sins. And so to receive that ultimate reward, we're to live soberly in this life. And then that same verse, live soberly and righteously in this present world. So as Christians, we're different from the world. We're not to be conformed to the world, Romans 12:1-2. We're to lay aside the things of the world, be renewed by our minds, and by letting words God's word live in us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. There he talks about the Christian's life and how that we're to be different from the world, that we're to be holy as he is holy. And so as Christians, as heirs of God's grace, we have responsibility in this life to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, to live righteously, and to live godly. Really, when you think about soberly, righteously, and godly, that those are things, when we have those qualities in our life, we will be denying godliness and worldly lust, because those things don't go with God. And those things can't go in our life if we're going to be heirs of the grace of God, to live godly. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. Then, verse 12 and verse 13, he says that, as heirs of God's grace, we're to live godly, righteously, soberly, and deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this present age. Let's read that verse 12. here in Titus chapter 2. He goes there and he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. These people, the only time you can do that is when you're on this earth, while you're presently here, the lifespan. And so Paul is saying that while we're here on this earth, the age you're in, you're living. And the age is the Christian age, so that we're here to do what? Serve God, because we're heirs of God, heirs of His grace through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we serve Him daily, serve Him each day faithfully, we continue to be heirs of His grace because we're faithful to Him. And then, verse 13, as we serve Him, we're to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that. As heirs of God's grace, we lay aside some things in our life. We lay aside ungodliness and worldly lust, which prevents us from serving God, will prevent us from receiving the grace of God. And because we've received His grace and been forgiven, we'll receive His ultimate mercy in eternity, because we have been living soberly and righteously and godly in our life while we're here. And we look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ until when? As long as we live. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Is it possible to do that? It certainly is. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, and he said there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that ye may know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So my life and your life as Christians, we are heirs of God's grace. But because God is merciful to us and He's bestowed His grace upon us, we have responsibilities to act like and actually be like and actually live like and actually carry out in our life the qualities that He says here, and lay aside the things that would prevent us from receiving our eternal inheritance in heaven. Well, as heirs of God's grace, we're told in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, how and why we became heirs of God's grace. How did we do that? Let's look at verse 14. Who gave Himself for us. What are we looking for? Verse 13. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who... So how did God and why did we become heirs of God's grace? Who gave Himself for us. Because God, through His Son, gave Himself for us, that He might, God might redeem us, Jesus might redeem us through His blood from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. How did we become heirs of God? Because God allowed it to happen. How did we become heirs of God? Because we believe God, and in believing God, we faithfully obey what He requires of us to do so that we can receive that grace. It's easy to understand, but so many people have the hardness of the heart, or they do err not knowing the Scriptures, as we've been studying in the life of Christ that Adam's talked about, that Jesus told those Jews, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. So we can know the Scriptures, and if we know the truth, Jesus said, it'll set you free. And so that's what God's grace is all about, being redeemed through His Son. Verse 15, when we are heirs of God's grace, we were baptized, our sins are washed away, we've been forgiven, we've risen to walk in newness of life, to serve God, to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age, doing His will, denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, certain things that should be taught. The things, he says, that Paul had just instructed the previous words of his letter in Titus, these are the things that are to be taught, such as what God has done for us and how we are to conduct our lives as both an individual and the church. Let's look at that verse 15 briefly. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. What is it that is to be spoke? These things that we've just been reading about, that God has done for us through Jesus Christ and through His will and through His way and through His sacrifice, and the things that is required of us to serve Him faithfully, these things need to be taught. The world needs to be taught about God and His Word and His grace and His mercy and Jesus, the Son of God. Think about how much better everything would be in the life of individuals, in the life between two people, in the life between groups of people, in the life between husbands and wives and parents and children and neighbors and friends and co-workers and in business and in life in general and between government and society. Think about how much better life would be if these things in God's Word were taught and obeyed. We need to continue to teach them. More people need to hear it so we can see a world that's not ungodly. See more people who are turning to God and living righteously. There's always going to be those who are going to disobey. There will be many that'll be lost. But we understand that we're heirs of God's grace. And if we're heirs of God's grace, Paul says, Titus, tell the people to act like it. And so, Titus, preach it. Preach the word and tell them this, because they're heirs of God's grace. And while you're teaching it, teach other men also that they may teach the truth. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 to teach other men that they in turn might be able also to teach others. Faithful men that can teach others. The word of God needs to be taught to me, to you, to everyone in the church, outside the church, in the home, in society. The word of God needs to be taught because God is gracious to mankind. God is merciful to mankind. Problem is, the majority will never receive that grace and that mercy to become an heir of God's grace, because maybe they err not knowing the Scriptures. Maybe they have the hardness of the heart as the Jews did. Maybe they just let the devil wrap them up, and they just caught up so much in the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, and the things of the world. They let worldliness override godliness, so they never become an heir of God. So think about what he's saying in these verses. Well, let's continue here in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. As heirs of God's grace, everything works for a reason as Christians. Live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world, in this present time while we're on this earth. Live that way. And to do that, we need to be subject to rulers and to governing authorities. There is the respect for authority. The powers that be are of God. Romans chapter 13. So if there's a law of the land, if there are laws that are made for the good and for the will of the people, then we need to be obedient to those laws, civil laws. Part of the responsibility of those who are heirs of God's grace is to be obedient to authorities in the place of government and obey those laws. Now, if those laws are made that contradict God's will, then we must obey God rather than man, as Peter and John declared to those people in the early part of the book of Acts. But we understand if we're heirs of God's grace, we're going to be good citizens. We're going to obey the laws of the land. We're going to pay our taxes. We're not going to cheat on our taxes. We're going to obey the traffic laws. We're going to buy our tags for our vehicles at the right time. We're going to pay our property taxes. We're going to do the things that the law says is there for our good, as long as that does not interfere with the will of God. Well, as heirs of God's grace, verse 1 of Titus chapter 3, we need to be ready for every good work. As Christians, we have a job to do. We have responsibility. Not works of evil, not works of doubt, not works of sin, not works of the world, but ready for every good work. We're to be good to other people. We're to help other people. And we're to do good, especially those of the household of faith. But we're to do good to all. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Be ready for every good work. And then, verse 2 of Titus chapter 3, as heirs of God's grace, I need to be reminded to speak evil of no one. Look what he says there in verse 2. To speak evil of no one. No one. Should never be a time that a Christian would speak evil of anyone. Now, it's one thing to talk about a situation and how we're going to fix the problem. It's another thing to be a gossip and a talebearer and a slanderer and speak evil of other people. We shouldn't do that. If we are going to be heirs of God's grace, and if we are heirs of God's grace already, having forgiveness of our sins, we're going to be the kind of people that are trustworthy and speak evil of no one. We may speak of the evil, the sin, but not of the person, because sin separates that person from God. We need to be concerned about that soul. Don't speak evil of anyone. Ephesians 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away with you with all lies. Well, verse 2 of Titus chapter 3, as heirs of God's grace, we need to be reminded to be peaceable, gentle, showing ever consideration for all. How much better would the lives of individuals be if everyone could learn to be peaceable, gentle, showing consideration for all? How much better could the life of a husband and wife be if the husband and wife would learn to be have consideration for each one? How much better would the lives of families be if parents could be considerate to their children and children considerate to their parents? How much better would society be, business be, government be, everything in general be, if we do what God is saying that people who are heirs of God's grace are going to do? Be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all. My good friends, the answers to our problems are in this book. I just need to get the book, study it, and obey it by faith. Well, Titus 3 and verse 3, Paul gives us a reminder of how we were before God's grace was provided to us. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Does that describe any segment of our society today in the United States? It does. Does that describe any segment of society back in the early church or down through history? Yes, it does. So how should it be? That's how it is sometimes. How should it be? Well, he reminds us that before God's grace was provided to us, that's how a person is. And it changed because we received God's grace and can get forgiveness of our sins. So we're reminded of how we were, how people are, before they come to God in obedience and have their sins washed away and receive the grace of God. And in that, chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, God tells us what he has done for us. How? By grace through Jesus Christ. When the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for us appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Think about that. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're blessed to be able to assemble on the first day of the week to remember the Lord's death, his suffering, the blood he shed, the cross on which he hung, the sacrifice that the Father paid and Jesus paid for what? For our grace and mercy and our forgiveness. Well, as heirs of God's grace, he goes on in Titus 3 and he says that we need to maintain and engage in good works. Look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. And those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works